We praise you for your refreshing spring rain today. And we bless your holy, majestic name, O God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name. We praise you, majestic one. Father, we press right in to see your face. We press in to see you, to commune with you. In the midst of that which would say no, we say yes, because your heart is yes. Thank you, Lord, for sweep through this place of your glory and your presence, Lord, as a deluge, a tsunami deluge of your power and your presence moving right through this house. In you know there is no distraction. In you there is glory, honor, and praise. Your name is lifted above all names, O God, and that your healing love and your power and your presence, O God, reigns supreme here. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Your presence and your presence and your presence and your presence and your presence is fullness of joy, fullness of release, O God. Be a morning, O God, where he who has an ear, let him hear what you're saying to this church and what you've released, O God, from the heavens. May it be, O God. May it be, O God. May it be. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Softly and oh so quietly, just ask that the children would be released to kingdom classes and land right now. And worship team, you can just stay there. Don't know what the Lord's going to do exactly. He's doing something. I have an idea. But Lord, magnify yourself in this moment. Magnify, Lord, yourself. For we come into the agreement of this house of prayer, O God. With you, O God, and the angels ascended and descended, Lord, from your heavenly throne, starting with the ascending and then descending. Lord, you showed up on the spot. And Father, just as Jacob was stepping into the inheritance that you had released, Lord, that he received the El Shaddai blessing from your hand, and that he knew He knew. From whence he came and where he was going and what you were saying to him in that hour and how you were so releasing that for us today, as well as him and the descendants, Lord God, from Abraham, of which he was one. May this be for our portion today, Lord, that we step in underneath that blessing and we apprehend that which you are releasing. I just ask, Lord God, for the impartation from heaven right now, for our hearts to be rallying around and designed by you to be able to secure that blessing, which many times so seems to escape us, Lord. That as Jacob contended for your face, that he would be driven by your presence, that he would be moved by your glory and carried into a place, Lord, where the very blessings from heaven surrounded him and overtook him, Father, that we would learn from our forefather what it means to step in and allow you to help us steward that which was been released. May this be the satisfaction of our hearts this morning, O God. The satisfaction to which you take us, to the highest places, to the places of glory, so evidenced by your beautiful created realm that we have the privilege of seeing and experiencing. But we so reflect your glorious design and your majesty and your grandeur, Lord, that we would be moved to see your presence and contend for your presence in the face of the goodness of God released to us in the land of the living. For we shall see the fruit, the labors, Lord, that we have extended before you, that we would see and move in that fruit and apprehend that fruit in this season. May it be as a blessing over this house, sanctioned by you in this day, in this moment, in this hour. Really believe this morning that the Lord is saying to us that a new positioning is necessary in this day to be able to receive something that he has for us. It's a new positioning, not new to him, but a new positioning for each one of us. And it's a positioning by choice. That's what I'm hearing, a positioning by choice, that as we step in to another place, another realm, as Josh said this morning about reminding us that we are seated in heavenly places, and that this is who we are. And the Lord says, step into that positioning right now. Just step in, that you would specifically, spontaneously, and intentionally say to the Lord, I'm stepping in, Lord. I want to have ears to hear what you're saying right now. Ears to hear and eyes to see what you're saying and what you're releasing right now. So if you want to tell him that would be a good idea. I really believe so. Lord, I'm choosing to do that. I'm choosing to step in. I am not going to be distracted. I'm not going to be doing anything else at all right now but communing with you. What you say, what you are releasing, what you are doing right now is of preeminence to me. It's something new. That's a new place. It's a new place. So many times we think we have to be doing something else and we miss out on God's word for the moment. We have to be attending to something else. I know that's something that I struggle with, and I'm so concerned about, in a good way, concern can mean fear, but paying attention to, hearing what he's saying at that moment. And I so want to hear, because when we hear God, nothing else matters. When we hear what he's really saying at that moment, then we're stepping in and partnering with him. It was interesting, as I was preparing my heart this morning for whatever the Lord would release today, I ended up calling three different people today. And I know from the call that I was being obedient to God, right in the midst of preparing my heart. It's like, God, I really don't want to do this. But I would love to tell you I knew exactly what he was doing, but I didn't. I really didn't. But in my finite abilities in hearing and responding to that still small voice, the Lord, I thought, was giving me a reason for the call. And each time it was different. And I recognized that in the middle of the call, I had heard his voice clearly. Call this person, call this person, call this person. And I had a measure of understanding of what he was going to say and do. But there was still in that call a little bit of me initially, as I was explaining to myself a good reason to make the call. And I was laughing as I was praying in each case, to all praying for the people in all three evidences for something beyond what he had revealed. And I believe that what I was asking or what I initially thought was okay. And it was good, but it was only a portion. The full revelation of the reason for the call didn't come until I stepped in and made the call. Have you ever been there? You know, the Lord is saying, just be obedient to that still small voice. Some of us have heard things that just are a wave running through our minds. And they're good. But as we entertain those waves running through our minds, if we don't apprehend the one who sent the wave, then we miss what he's really saying and doing in greater measure. He's saying, if you have something, we're in an hour, if you hear something, the Lord is saying, that's me. Many times, especially when it doesn't make sense, especially when it seems to be difficult, or especially when it has an intent by the darker side to enter into our intellectual realm. I'm telling you, this message on my heart is so strong about that. That the Lord is saying that we're in a season where we're going to be moved more by his heart than what we think. Although our minds are involved in that understanding. That's the part the Lord wants us to understand. He wants us to see that he's in the realm of he's in the heart business. But he's the most brilliant being in the universe. He's so brilliant. So amazingly brilliant. And he's given us these amazing minds that are so small. And he's saying, big heart, I want your heart to grow bigger, 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 bigger. And it's going to look a little bit different than what we think and what we see. And then out of that heart growing bigger, 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 though still small, make that phone call. Ew. Make that journey. Do what I tell you to do. And you do it. Sometimes you're fumbling around going, well, what do I say? What do I do? But the Lord's taking us into a place where he's helping us see that the doing, that part of obedience and walking that out, that's where the release of the revelatory realm will come for us in greater, greater abundance. It's so easy to be distracted. So easy. When God shows up, and he gives a word. He's saying, I give a word or a dream or a vision or just that still small something for you to connect in with and do something with right then. You know, have you ever had a little child, your little child or someone's little child, come up and want something right away and you're engaged with someone else? How hard is it sometimes to say, sweetheart, I love you, but so-and-so is speaking right now. I will talk with you later. How hard is that sometimes? Many parents in this day and age don't do that. I see it, I notice it all the time. For fear that the child will not feel significant, important, or have a meltdown, or whatever the reason would be. But sometimes, and many times actually, I believe the Lord is like that. That we are not hearing what he's saying. And we as parents and parents-to-be and grandparents and spiritual moms and spiritual dads, some of us in the making more than others right now, others are stepping more into that. God is saying, you've got to hear what I'm doing right now, what I'm saying, and be able to say, one moment, sweetheart, this is not your time right now. And that's actually very healthy for the children in our midst. And it's part of our training. But the message to us is not about the little children, but it's a significant, very, very obvious picture of being able to recognize when the Lord is moving and speaking. Sometimes we are turning our attention in a way that we call love and importance, and it's not. It is good, but it's not the best. I was talking to one of our sons. Well, Mikey's the only one here. I was talking to him about this the other day, and he was reminding me of that. And I took it, and I thought, what is he really saying? It was a nice thing to hear, you know, to remind me of something positive that affected a child that I had raised. And so that was positive. But then I took it further, and I said, Papa, what are you saying? What are you saying to me? Because I could say, oh, that was a nice thing. A lot of things I needed to change as a mom, you know, I'm sure. Because none of us are perfect parents. But it was a recognition of something positive. But I said, what do you mean by that? What's the spiritual application? That's how I try to live my life. If I hear something positive. And what he was saying to me was, Mom, there were many times that I'd come to you and say, Mommy, I want to know something, I want to see something, or I want to do this, or I want to do that. And I was in the midst of something where I was conversing with another person, and the Lord was in it. And I'd say, honey, I just love you. Excuse me. I love you so much, but not right now. And that was it. And then if he wasn't able to handle that at the moment with me, then he needed to learn that that was part of his training. And he said that he reminded me that that was positive. It was a positive experience because I was affirming to him and loving and kind. But I was letting him know, without even understanding, that the presence and the power of God reigns over you and over me. And I want to tie into what God is doing. Many times we don't understand really what honoring God looks like. And there may have been times where, you know, I wasn't able to do that very well. But for my son to tell me something positive like that, I said, okay, God, I'm his mom and he's my son, but I'm also his spiritual mother. He's my spiritual son as well. Some parents feel as though every son or daughter is their spiritual son or daughter, and it may not be the case. We're not talking about parents not having reign over the children, but as far as being a spiritual one of influence that the Lord is speaking life into right at that moment, maybe somebody else. I was reminded of that yesterday too. And the Lord is saying, take your place. And it's never in place of someone, but take your place and release. Release your children. Release, release, release. If we are more releasers, we are more releasers, releasers. Do you know that the Lord will come and the Lord will provide what is needed at that moment for each one of us in our families, in our circumstances? I have no plan. This is coming out of me right now. I'm sensing this is a message God has. And it's not to pull anyone down. It's to lift each one of us up, that we would be more of a releaser of the people around us, more of a releaser in the kingdom, more of a releaser of what God says is good, and to be able to step in and say, what are you saying right now? What are you doing right this minute, right this second? I was reminded of, 2 weeks ago, the message that I gave. Last night I was listening to some of it and went to bed, but I was listening to some of it again, and the Lord was reminding me of a word I was releasing about recognizing his presence and then acting upon his presence. Recognizing, that means being aware that something's going on in our midst. Something, see, he's showing up. He's always around because he's omnipresent. But you know, recognizing like, oh my goodness, he's increasing right now. The God of the increase is here. The God of increase is right in my midst. I'm aware of the increase of his presence right now, and it's increasing. How is his nature? Our God is a nature, our God's nature is one of increase. And he's teaching us, saints, how to honor. He's really teaching us what honor truly looks like. We can read books, we can talk about it, we can go to different classes, but the Lord will give us opportunities to walk out what his definition of honor is, not our conceived or contrived sometimes and very religious sometimes definition of honor. He's saying, let me release to you what true honor looks like, and that will come first as you're connecting in with what I'm saying and doing at the moment. Something very powerful to contend for. Lord, I really want to learn honor. I want to see honor. I want to live honor. I want to become honor. Not just an honorable person, but I want to understand that. I want the revelation from heaven of what honor looks like to be my portion for my life, because I am your kid. I am your offspring. What will it look like? It can be a contending like this for honor. That doesn't work. But it's going to be something that rises up that you can actually see happening. You know, in the Bible, in Matthew 5, Jesus came in connection with the Gadarene demoniac, you know, and he, there were these tormenting spirits, tormenting, and he, maybe let's just look at it right now. Turn in your Bibles, would you? Because the Lord doesn't want any of us to be in torment. I said, Lord, it's not Matthew. And he said, it's Mark. I said, oh, good. Thank you, Lord. Where is it? In Mark chapter 5. Thank you, Lord. This is so good. It just dropped in my heart. The Gadarene demoniac in Mark 5 was, it says that they came in verse 1, they came to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gerasenes. And when he got out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. And after he had had his dwelling among the tombs, and there was no one able to bind him anymore, even with a chain, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains. And the chains had been torn apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. And you might think, well, what does this have to do with me? You'll see. Constantly, night and day, he was screaming among the tombs in the mountains and seething and gnashing himself with stones. Seeing Jesus at a distance, he ran up and he bowed before him. Now notice that. And shouting with a loud voice, he said, what business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God, do not torment me. So here's this man, the demons through this man speaking right now, recognizing Jesus and saying, "Do not torment me." And he'd been saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And then he says, "What's your name?" "My name is Legion, for we are many." And then in verse 10 it says, "And he began to implore him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now there was a large herd of swine feeding nearby in the mountain. The demons implored him, saying, 'Send us into the swine so that we may enter them.' Jesus gave them permission." So here they are in verse 12, imploring him, "Send us into the swine so that we may enter them." And he gave them permission. So here's Jesus, the Son of God, but walking in the fullness of the authority that God has released to him, the Father has released to him. Because the Bible says that he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. But he did his wonders, signs, and miracles as a man, releasing the power and authority of God. Figure that. So as a man, stepping in and having this kind of authority. So Jesus gave permission. And coming out, the unclean spirits entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea, and 2,000 of them, and they were drowned in the sea. Now verse 14 says that their herdsmen ran away and reported it in the city and the country, and the people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus, and they observed the man who had been demon-possessed sitting down and clothed in his right mind, the very one who had the legion, and they became frightened. Those who had seen it described it to them, how it happened, the demon-possessed man, all about the swine, and they began to implore him for leaving their region. And the reason I'm bringing this up, that the Lord put this on my heart, is because I really think the Lord is saying that he wants to take us to a place where anything that is a distraction to your family, to yourself, to anything where the kingdom of God is designed to come and take up complete residence and hope, that needs to go. And so in us, the very power and presence of God needs to raise to be able to recognize that which for these people was really obvious, but for us, sometimes it's not so obvious. So I gave you the example, let's say, of a mother, a child, or a father, a child. But the Lord is saying, I think with my voice coming towards you, there are many other areas that may, from heaven to earth, be considered a distraction. And the Lord says, let my spirit in you become so strong that you will be used to wreak havoc where any tormenting spirits are. That you would even get to the place where you go, what you do, evokes negativity from others. It's like, whoa, who wants that? But you see, this man in the demon-possessed, in the chains, this man actually started to react like, "Ah, I see you. Ah, what do you have to do here? Ah." And it didn't even move Jesus. He wasn't bothered by that. And he responded in love, but he heard the voice of the Lord, the Father, saying, "Here's what you need to do. Here's what you need to do. Here's who you are becoming, and here's what you need to do." And so we might say, well, we are called to respond in love. What Jesus did was respond in love. It was strong love. But in essence, the point here, I believe, among many, is that the Lord Jesus Christ was sent, to confound and to torment, if you would, the demons in him. So the closer he got to those who were carrying the presence of anything other than the kingdom of God, the closer he got, the more annoyed the demon-possessed man became. The more that which he was carrying started to raise up and started to rise. And it's so interesting in that passage that the people or the person actually said, or the demons threw him at that point, because none of us could ever think about demon possession, right? But oppression, affliction, that which comes and tries to steal, kill, and destroy, that the Lord might even give us a dream or a word or a sense or an idea is really going on, but we turn our ear and we do not go after and find out what the Lord is really saying and doing, to be able to be used by God, to recognize the very uncleanness or cleanness and torment that's trying to come against us. Maybe through someone closest to you. No, not on my watch. It couldn't be my spouse. It couldn't be my fiance. It couldn't be my girlfriend. It couldn't be my wife. Or it couldn't be my husband. It couldn't be my mother. It couldn't be my father. It couldn't be my friend. And the Lord says, I'm showing you, I'm giving you an example of real life situation here where there are two people. There's Jesus and there's a man with demons. And he's saying that when you know me and you know my name, you will heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out demons. I really believe sometimes we relegate that thinking to, well, when I go overseas and when I go to Africa, there's going to be some demons and I'm probably going to confront them and learn how to do it. Boom! And the Lord says, you know, if you really want to see that anointing increase, got to recognize what's going on right in your midst. Well, how do I know? Power of God, presence of God. How can I be sure? Power of God, presence of God. How can I know what this could be? Power of God, presence of God. What if it's not? Power of God, presence of God. Seeking His face, seeking His face, seeking His face. Think about this. Let's take our idea of what it means to cast out demons and say, Lord, maybe I need to grow up in this area. Especially those of you who have been overseas, especially. Especially. So that word is for you, especially, but not alone, especially. Because I believe the very things that many of you have stood against have tried to mask in a certain way to release something towards you, against you, even a strategy, even a sense of darkness that you don't see, you don't recognize. Why? The Lord's told me that, actually. He's told me that. Last night I had a dream, and I wasn't sure I was going to share it, and I think I will right now because I think it's a poignant moment. And this is not for just those who've been overseas, okay? But I was watching this man on a beach, and this man watched his spiritual children. Actually, they were his natural children, but the Lord told me in the dream it was spiritual. And he watched his spiritual children who were out in the ocean, and they had been on big deep sea fishing boats. You know, and this is something that they would do, and they would go out and do great and mighty things out there and take people out. And it was a really cool thing that they were braving the waves and such. But as they were trying to go into uncharted territories, they weren't as prepared as they thought, and they fell overboard. And so all the people that fell overboard made it back, except them. And so I was really unnerved in the dream at first, and I said, well, you know, I didn't say, Lord, what are you doing? I did that later. But I was watching the posture of the father, and the father was preparing. Oh, this is amazing. He was preparing this big feast. I didn't see it at the time. But he was preparing a big feast that people were getting together, you know, to welcome home those who were coming. And I said, well, who do you mean? And he said, all those who are on this fishing expedition. I said, well, what about your son and your daughter? And he said, oh, they'll be here. They'll be here. And I was like, okay, all right. And I kept looking and looking and looking and looking and looking out there. And I looked at the father, and he was calm, and he said, they'll be here. They'll be here. But there was this expectation of the father, who I believe was representing the Lord and the spiritual parents that he has in the making. Pastor Bill and I are spiritual parents, and you know that. But he's saying, be mindful and watch, because the reason that the son and the daughter went over the side is because they, even though they had been prepared by the father, they weren't listening. And they had made some errors, and they were getting tossed in the waves. It's like, whoa. And that's what he said. So I woke up with that going, okay, what do I do with that? And I thought I would save that for another day. But I believe it's poignant for right now, because the Lord just took me to this Mark passage, because he wants us to see, oh, that as revelation continues and that we have the supernatural manifestations that we have in this house already, that there isn't any more room, really. Always in the Father's house there's room, but there's no more room, really, for some of the things that we talk about but we don't recognize are really not the Lord and be willing to do something about it. God is saying, I have our backs, your back and my back. But he's saying that they were entering into a new realm and a new season where there are angelic hosts that he's wanting to release over this place, over this house that he has in measure, but there's even a greater company of hosts. He's saying, I want you to know what's going on prophetically around the world, and I want you to step into that, especially in this new season where we're coming into Christmas season after Thanksgiving. And the Lord says, isn't that wonderful you're celebrating my son? Isn't that wonderful you're celebrating his birth? But as you're celebrating his birth, may it be a resurrection type of celebration, which will preclude and cancel out any confusion in this holiday time, as we call it. It really will. There'll be an opportunity for mass change of thinking on every level for each one of us in our family traditions, in our family ways of looking at things, be it we live alone, or we live in a community, or we live with family, husband, wife, and children, or whatever it would be. The Lord's saying, I want to change the way you think. Actually, I want you to do that, but I want to show you what that will look like. And any barriers, any boundaries, anything that would really render us to be ill-equipped for the tsunami that's coming, the Lord says, I want you to be able to carry this glory as you are releasing from heaven the very messengers of fire and the very messengers of glory and the messengers who see his face and carry his face, that you would say, what does that mean for me? I don't understand this woman. What is she saying? I'm going to think about this and say, release it to me, because I want to have ears to hear what you're saying right now. Oh, this is exciting. Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Can we turn in Zechariah, please? Some things I think the Lord wants us to look at right now that will tie in with this, to open our eyes to maybe a bigger picture. This is so fun. Better with the light here. Thank you, Jesus. You can turn in your Bibles to Zechariah 12, and then we're also going to look at another passage in Zechariah that he did put these two passages on my heart. This is good. And just hold your fingers there, and then something I do want to read from Daniel, chapter 12, verse 3. These are really good verses to meditate on, believe it or not, during this holiday season. I believe God wants to show us something. But in Daniel 12, 3, it says, those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Isn't that awesome? Let me read it again and mark it down, would you? Daniel 12, 3, while you've got your finger in Zechariah, because I think it takes longer to get that. Those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Daniel was understanding the times. And Daniel was releasing. If you guys in the front, if you don't have your Bibles, go get them. You can go back and hang out on the steps or whatever. You really need to have your Bibles. Word of God is so good. Those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven. Wow. And those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. I'm going to mark that one myself. Daniel 12:3. Now, you found, everybody found Zechariah? Okay. While you're looking up that one, also look up Matthew. Look up Matthew 13:41. We're going to see the connection here. Matthew 13:41. These are Jesus' words. And these are great words for Christmas. Oh my goodness. Talking about Christmas with your children, depending on how you can make it sound to them, depending on their age. These are great, great words. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 13, 41 through 43. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Now, Jesus himself, these are great words. Everybody find it? Okay, Matthew 13, verse 41 through 43. The Son of Man will send forth his angels. I want to stop right there. The Son of Man will send forth his angels. Okay, listen to that. So there are angels who are hanging with the Lord in the presence of the Most High God. They're in the throne room, and Jesus knows it. And the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, will send forth his angels. And they will gather out of his kingdoms all stumbling blocks. Out of his kingdom, all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness. Okay, so there are gathering angels, there are releasing angels, there are angels that the Son of Man plans on releasing in this day. Now remember, the enemy may not understand all of this, but he does have the book. And he doesn't have the revelation that we have of the book, but he does see what this is. So he will increase in this last day into proportion of what the heavens are, what's happening in the heavens, of what release there will be in the heavenly realm. So if there are angels on assignment that are to be released in this hour to help us so that we can hear, we can see, we can move forward. If we don't understand that or we stand against it, then the very forces that are released in these final hours of the last day will continue to be released. But the children of God, the kids of God, have a mandate from the Father to understand the times and believe that they have the authority to say, "Yes, Lord, I stand behind and I release that which you are saying by your power, by your authority, you will do." Okay? If we're going to have a brightness shining to rescue those in darkness, as I just read from Daniel, we need everything that God has released. But if we don't understand that our job is to be part of the releasing ability from heaven, then we are not going to understand this. And I'm telling you that the very simplest of things, I gave you the example of a mother and a son, or a father and a child, you know, the very things, anything in our existence that is able to rise up as a distraction, we have to call it that. And we have to say, "Papa, how could I possibly think that another one of my loved ones could be part of that?" He's saying, "I want to deal with you, with learning my ear for the kingdom of how to show love so that we know what love really looks like, so that we don't just receive a word from Papa Bill here last week and a couple weeks before and go, 'Oh, I feel so much better,' but that we would receive the word from heaven, and then we'd say, 'What does this mean? How will I act on this? What are you saying?' Okay? What are you saying? And what do you mean by that? And I will incline my ear to hear," Proverbs says, "what you are saying." And the Lord says, "I am speaking. I am saying." And what a great release to be able to have. How the prophetic vein in this church to be able to uplift us and encourage us. Wow, what a blessing. God is saying, "Do you see who you have in your midst? Do you recognize the anointing?" It's the anointing. If we don't, we will not be able to step in to the fullness where the Lord says, step out and release those angels from heaven. Step out and do the mighty great exploits of the Lord. I was speaking to someone this morning before I was preaching, and I said to that someone, when I was your age, if I would have had someone speak to me as I am speaking to you. I took a risk because of relationships and relationship, because I know it's a relationship of love. But if I would have had someone, here's what I wanted to finish saying. I wanted to say, I would have stepped in for greater and mighty exploits of the Lord at an earlier age. I didn't quite finish it that way, but I said, I know that I would have been different. As I look back now, and I thank God for the changes in my life, and I don't live with a regret, but I said, if I would have had someone who spoke the very words of heaven that they were hearing into me with the giftings and callings of my life, as I see now being played out in greater measure, how it would have made a change for me. Please take what God has said and say yes and walk it out now. And so that was the mother's heart coming out, that I was determined in my own motherhood, if I could, to be able to release in my own children. Some received, some are still in that maybe I'll receive mode sometime. But some have definitely received. But here's what I'm trying to say about that, is that if we hear something, it's the word of the Lord. If Josh is singing out from the throne of God, he's not on the throne. God's on the throne, but he's going to the throne and he's speaking out, that our very hearts would say, yes. And when the distraction comes, which it does, and it is all the time, that we will be able to recognize it and say, Lord, what do I do about that? How do I press through that? Because if one of us is hearing what heaven's saying, then it's for all of us. Isn't that true? So what that does is that presses me forward. It's like, yes, you're speaking. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, that's a good word. It's a recognition. What, God, you are doing and saying right now, what will I do with it? What will I do with it? If I get a word, what will I do with it? I was telling somebody, I forget who this week. I don't remember who it was. I was really poised to go back to I didn't have time to listen to the messages. But since we got back from Ghana, and I looked at the message titles trying to remember what the Lord gave me to speak. Sometimes I know better what others have given than myself. So I have to, because I'm not expecting what I'm going to say. So it's true. And I was looking at the building. It was like stair step. It was like this. And it was a stair step building of what the Lord was saying in this hour. That's the intention of God, because he's our God of increase. So for me, if I missed something that was very strong and powerful from the first week after Ghana, and I'm just using that as a benchmark, if I missed it, not that I didn't sit and listen to it, but that I missed it for change for myself, that I missed the very increase that God was giving for me at that moment. And that was my challenge to myself. It's like, wow, thanks God. So what do you want to do tomorrow? Or whenever I had this revelation on Sunday. And I wasn't sure. Except he kept saying to me, I'm the God of increase. I'm the God of increase. I'm the God of increase. Wow, so good. Thank you, Jesus. So in Matthew 13, 41 through 43, let's take a look at this. And the Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who have committed lawlessness, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. into the place where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has an ear, let him hear. Wow. We are the righteous, beloved. And do you know that our daddy is saying, I'm fighting for you. I'm on your side. I'm fighting for you. And I want you to be less distracted than anybody. You might hear a message and go, oh, another message on distraction. But I really believe he's saying, I want you to hear me. I want you to feel so close to me. I want you to be seeking my face and that you could step in to do those great exploits. Wouldn't you know, on the cover of the bulletin today, I didn't know that before I said what I said before to this younger person in here. It says, the Lord is looking for those who can show himself strong to you, and you will do great and mighty exploits. Look at it. I didn't know that. I laughed and went, boy, God, you are so funny. You are so on time. This is a good word. I mean, the Lord is saying, do you know what's happening in Israel? Do you know what's happening in the world? Do you know, do you have an idea of when the Son of Man may return? Do you know the signs of the times? Maybe not the day or the hour, because nobody does. But do you know? Do you care? What's happening in you? Are you so stirred up that you can't help yourself? Are you stirred up inside when you get up in the morning? Or are you feeling dull and tired? And just like confused or whatever. We're doing a good thing for God. You know, we're going to have gift of Christmas on Saturday. That's really good. We're going to do good things for God. And good things are going to happen. And it's wonderful. We're going to have great Bible studies. And we're going to do these things for God. And he's saying, I want to do these things for you on the inside. And then out of that comes a fiery passion. That's what God's doing in this hour. He's saying, I'm trying to light something inside of you that's filled with a fiery passion, where there's really no striving, where there's really no control, and where there's really no, it's all about what I do on my watch, in my plan to be able to do good things. Good things in the church, good things in your family. It doesn't negate good things. But if the passionate heart is not stirred by the passionate one above, those things will be very mediocre, and they will not change the world. But if we're moved by the passion, it only comes when we're spending time in God's presence. There's no other way. There is no other way. Spending more time, more time, more time with the Lord, one-on-one, more time. That will change everything. It will change the way you think. It will change what you see. It will change what you feel. It will change how you parent. It will change how you grandparent. It will change everything. Because when we are in that kind of presence connection, that we do become driven by passion. And then you can't stop. And then the walls won't go up. You can't, because Jesus didn't have them. You'll be driven by a passionate pursuit of the King. It's like, wow, God, I get this. How do we take this forward? And he says, live it. But Lord, that's a message for me. Yes, it's a message for you and the masses. Lord, I want to deliver that message all over the world. He says, yes, yes, let it begin here, so that we're all rising together. I believe that's one reason we are the way we are. And God says, I want to change the way we are. But I think it's great. We have great worship and we have great this and great that. And God says, yes, it's great, but I'm greater. I'm greater, and that my presence and my passion, passionate pursuit of you, is greater than anything, anything, anything. And it will spill into the doing. There'll be so many doers in here that people will be calling up saying, how can I do? Because I've been with Jesus. What can I do? Where can I do? How can I do? How can I do more? Sometimes we think, when we hear that word do, we go into, oh no, I can't mode. And that's because we're not presence oriented. Really? That's a word to me. I can't give a word that's not given to me. It's a word to me. What does it mean to be presence-oriented? God's raising up movers and shakers for the world in this house. But he's looking for fruit that will remain. And he's looking for that fruit to be evident right now, no matter what we're doing or not doing. That's what he's looking for. But if we hide behind, this is who I am defined by this, we're going to miss something, even in this hour, even as a young parent, even as not a parent yet, even as someone not married yet, even as a grandparent. We're going to miss it because we have a definition of what we are from God's perspective, and there's more. And it doesn't press us into, I can't handle it. What it presses us into is, I can't handle what's inside of me so that I can handle it. I don't want to be like Pastor Mary Pat. Okay. Be like the Jesus in Pastor Mary Pat. That's fine with me. Whatever that is. If you have an opinion of Pastor Mary Pat or Pastor Bill, and it's an opinion that you're stuck between two opinions, as Pastor Samuel said, how? Then you are not a watchman. Because a watchman cries out day and night. A watchman cries out so that the walls come tumbling down, so there's access into the heavenlies, so that you are free to bloom and grow the way you were blooming and growing in God's eyes. And that comes from passion that will come out of your eyes, come out of your mouth, come out of your ears, come out of every part of you. And God says, that's what I've got for my church. That's what I've got for you right now. Do you know? Do you know, as the bridal company, as the bridal remnant for Jesus Christ, at the end time bridal army for Jesus, do you know that there's a link with us and with what's happening in Israel? Do you know that God's releasing the power and the presence and the authority in this hour that's so, so big that he's saying, if you have an ear to hear and eyes to see, you'll be so taken over with the bigness of my message that you won't sit in your backyard anymore and shovel. You'll see it as an opportunity to sow, but also what you'll do is see it as it's a time of harvesting. That we are in this season of reaping a harvest. And it's not just stepping out and doing good things. Although I'm thrilled we have gift of Christmas. I'm not faulting that. It was our idea from the Lord. So why would I fault that? I think it's wonderful. The Lord said, check your heart. Check your heart. Check your heart. And the word that means so much to people is schedule. And I said once to somebody, I don't remember who it was, I said, the problem isn't the schedule, the problem is your heart. Hopefully they still love me. But it's the truth. Let's take a look at Zechariah. Because the Lord wants to release something, I believe, to us today. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good. Your words are powerful to us. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's take a look at Zechariah 12, 7 through 11. Okay. These are, sometimes we go into, well, this is prophetic mode. This is only for prophecy. And the Lord's saying, prophecy is my released word from heaven to you. It's in the written word, but it's also been released from my heavenly realm. So hear this. Grab this. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The Lord will also save the tents of Judah first, so that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem will not be magnified above Judah. He's talking about Israel and Judah. Look at verse 8. In that day, the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the one who is free. No. I'm sorry. The one who is feeble among them in that day will be like David, and the house of David will be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them. Now, this is very important. It's underlined so much in my Bible, and the Lord has drawn back to this for this week. This is a scripture verse the Lord gave me for us. And he said, look at that part again. And the one who is feeble among them in that day will be like David. And the house of David will be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them. In other words, an angel of the Lord was sent before them This is the last days, saints. And the Lord is saying there's a company of hosts. There's a host of angelic beings and messengers of fire and glory that are being released in this hour. The Lord says it's not enough to take glory school and just say, that's really nice. It's not enough just to see or ask to be able to see angels. It's not enough. In this day, we need to see that we are ending. We are ending. We're at the end of the spectrum. I don't know exactly what that looks like, but we are in the last days. And the Lord is releasing the armies of heaven on our behalf. And he's saying, will you see, will you step into a more mature way of looking at the importance of the angelic host, the angelic realm? And it says, in that day, I will set about to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. In other words, there is going to come a time where those who are being raised up as victors and as those who are standing in the camp like David did, those who were like David or are like David, who danced before the Lord, who understood the mandate to worship him in spirit and in truth, to do great and mighty exploits, to be considered valiant warriors. These Davids are going to be the most feeble among us, if you would. That's us. And we're being raised up in a statue where the Lord's saying, we're getting to the end here, folks, and we're on my timetable, and with Israel being so important to me, can you see there's a symmetry between the two? It's the end time bridal company being raised up in conjunction with what's happening in Israel and what's happening on the world stage. Oh! Oh! Yay! What a word! And so the Lord is saying, in this season, see what I'm doing, and then grab on. And rather than say, yeah, I guess I will consider it, say, yes, that's for me. And anything that's been trailing around, that's been tormenting me, anything that's been a chain, anything that has a right, it thinks, to rise up and move me into control mode, move me into lack of honor mode, move me into rejection mode, or whatever mode we deal with. It's time that the modes are behind us. How? And the very release from heaven, Jesus in us, releasing us, will become so strong that when we're around other people, they might start to react. They might start to go, blah! And we have to respond in love and say, Lord, I want to check myself first. But after that, we're going to respond in love because we care more about the other person than our feelings and our offenses. That's what it really means to get over yourself. To go beyond. To see the bigger picture. You see, there's a reason for these things that are preached. There's a reason for only tolerating submitted opinions. A July message. Only tolerating submitted opinions to the king. Anything other than that. If our conscience is clear, our mouth will match up with it. If our conscience is clean, our mouth will come out with the good things of the kingdom. It will be so pure. It's true. Lord says, this is a season that I come in with a cleansing for the conscience to be so clean that only what can come out is from the heavens out, so that we'll have eyes to see. Passages like this, saying, Lord, I want to see and know what you're doing. I want to know the protocol of going into your throne room, Lord God. When your word in Hebrews says, step in boldly, boldly and mightily into the throne of grace with confidence, knowing that I will be heard in my time of need, that I will posture myself before you and allow you to cleanse me. How? And at the very portals of life, that allow negativity to come through, allow passivity to come through, will be ended and closed in my life, because it may come down through my family line. Look around. It's obvious. But the Lord says, you are different. You've been marked. Step in and refuse, and step in and refuse, and step in and refuse. And that will change the way you think. How? And drive us, each one of us, to our knees for that time with the Lord, that passionate pursuit of the Lord. Passionate. Like, I'm going to stay there in my closet, in my prayer closet, until you make yourself known to me. Until I see your face. How? Oh, that's the glory of God. How can we be carriers of the glory if we don't see what that looks like? Hey, how? Wow. The Lord's doing it, beloved. I'm telling you. Let's look at Zechariah 6. Just a little bit more. Whoa. How? This may be an introduction into the prophetic for some. Good. Have fun with it. Okay, verse 1. How? Now, I lifted up my eyes again and I looked and behold, look at this. Four chariots were coming forth from between the two mountains, and the mountains were bronze mountains, and the first chariots were red horses, and the second chariots black horses, and the third chariot white horses, and the fourth chariot strong dappled horses. And I spoke and said to the angel who was speaking with me, "What are these, my Lord?" And the angel replied to me, "These are the four spirits of heaven going forth and..." What does that word say? Standing. I have it all marked up. Standing before the Lord of all the earth. Oh, look at verse 7. Verse 6 is good too. But look at 7. When the strong ones went out, they were eager to go patrol the earth. And he said, "Go patrol the earth." So they patrolled the earth. How? Korabashaka. Thank you, Lord. Wow. We are in the end season, folks. That should be filling us with joy. But if we're not having FaceTime with the King of Kings, if we don't see His glory, if we don't do as Moses did, that can last and last and last, if we don't turn aside and look towards the presence, we're not going to move forward. We're going to have great programs, but we're not going to move as quickly as we can. We can right now. I'm telling you, we are in the I can day. We are in the I can moment. It's so time to take a look at your spouse or your friend and say, "I'm so sorry, forgive me," and be cleansed completely. Move it, move forward. And then look into the heavenlies and say, "Oh God, because I'm on my face before you and I see your face and it's so glorious, it's so beautiful. Oh Lord, I see the angelic hosts in the realm. I see the captain of the host, and I pull down because that's what you're asking me to do." Ho! Shekarabase. Wow. Hey. Thank you, Lord. Wow. That's joyful. That's what it means to... The joy of the Lord is my strength. That's what that really means. It's not just saying, "Oh, you're wonderful. Thank you. I love you." That's great, but that's baby. The Lord says you're not called to be in Pampers. Rise up and maintain the joy of the Lord. Maintain. Striving looks a certain way from heaven. I'm telling you, He's given some eyes to see what real striving from His perspective looks. And it always looks like a good thing. It always looks like it's wonderful. But striving from a kingdom perspective is God's opinion, not ours. How? Do you want to know His opinion? Yay, I do. Speaking to me. Oh, wow. Thank you, Lord. Can we just finish this up by looking at Moses again? I want to point something out in Exodus 3. Yes, Lord. Yeah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are the great El Shaddai. Thank you that you are the breasted one. Thank you, you are the one, the all-sufficient one, the God of the impossible. Thank you, Lord God, that we are stirred by your power and your presence right now, and that there's no distraction. Exodus 3. Yay. Orabasaka. Okay. You know, old familiar here. Teach this to your kids. But do it in a way that's way beyond what you learned when you were a kid. They're much more aware of the presence than you realize. Your kids, your grandkids. But what happens is that they get stuck in between two opinions. Because parents and grandparents don't understand. And they can feel. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Burning bush. Let's look at it. Now, Moses, verse 1, was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Now, get this, guys. Verse 2. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now. I must. You know what? This is more important than anything else. So can we just chill here? This is important. So let's just chill and let's get this right now. Let's read it again. Verse 2. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight. Wow. Well, the bush is not burned up. This is amazing. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush, and he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. I'm going to ask for your attention right now, because I think this is probably so powerful that the actual distractor is right here, and he's moving. Okay? I want you to catch it, because I see him moving in our midst. And I don't like it. Not when God's showing up. So the actual distractor has no dominion here, and it comes in the form of a human being. Always. And you guys have to grow up and recognize it and say no. Are you hearing me? That is a rebuke and a correction. It truly is, because I so love you. That's from Mama here. That when this happens, you need to stop and say no. These are not just fun little words. I am telling you, it is really important that you will grow up today and say, no, I will not be used, and I will not listen when a distraction comes, so that you will hear what he's saying. Okay. Let's do it again, because good parents help a child learn, but good parents correct. And if you're not correcting in a good, loving way, you need to. So listen. Here we go again, okay? And some of us are really trying to tune in. But we need to be prepared for this, not only for today, but when we leave this place. Because we're really good at getting things done. But this is more important than getting things done, okay? Here we go. Verse 2, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight, why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him. Now this is really important. Verse 4. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, when the presence of God is making himself known to you, be it through the word right now, something in this, you know, maybe him speaking just to your ear, but he's making himself known. Moses turned aside to look because he recognized. Okay, When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush, and he said, "Moses, Moses." He said, "Here I am." And then he said, "Do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." And he said, "I am the God of your father. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." Then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, and I am aware of their sufferings. I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egypt land, from the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. Now behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me furthermore. I have seen the oppression to which the Egyptians are oppressing them." I am encouraging you that you would take this passage and daily throughout this entire Christmas season reflect on it and say, "Lord, this is how I want to live before you. And above anything else in my life, I want to see how the enemy uses me as a distraction and how I also am a distraction to others. I want to see that so that I can be poised to step into the something new that you're releasing. Because I want to know you. I really want to see you." I'm telling you, it's so subtle. Just like the voice of the Spirit is so subtle sometimes. The Lord says, "That's my voice. Learn to hear my voice. Recognize my voice." And then the distraction will become so blatant, you'll know what to do. And in this hour, when we're releasing angels, we want the angels to stay, because they're in this house, they're in this place. And the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear God. And beloved, I want to say that with Moses, when it says the angel of the Lord appeared in the burning bush, that was the manifest presence of Jesus. And also, that's called a theophany, but also that means that the angels from heaven come through the manifest presence of Jesus, and they do the work of Jesus as his bidding ones, as his fiery face messengers, because they've been in his face. They've been in the face of God, in his throne room. We want all the artillery, don't we? We want everything to fight with and for and through us, don't we? Take the message that God gave you, a personal one, Pastor Bill gave you in the last couple of weeks. Take that. Most of you got one. Take it and think about it. But also, say, "Lord, I want to be used in these last days. I want to understand. I want to understand the deeper side of these things." And not just say, "Lord, I'm sorry for distractions." It's saying, "Lord, I want to be poised to recognize the distractor on every front." And sometimes when we pray a prayer like that, when we recognize those things, it's not easy. It's going to be uncomfortable. Because sometimes distraction has had its way for so long, we like it. We really do. So this is a wake-up call, I think. Some of us have had wake-up calls before, but I think right now as we enter into the Christmas time, Lord is saying, "I want you to hear what I'm saying. He who has an ear, let him hear." We're entering into what we call mission season. Some of us have our guards up of what we won't do or see or feel. But you see, it's really not mission season. This is a mission we're on. And if we have our guards up of what we won't do or see or participate in, we have partnered with a distractor, calling it God. It's not healthy for us. So in this very exciting season, what I'd like to end with, because I've given a lot today that he's put on my heart, this very exciting season that we live in, as we have the power and the authority available to us to release heaven to earth way beyond what we've seen so far, that it will come with a face-to-face encounter daily with the Lord. This is a good day to be alive and a great day to be dead. Great day to be dead. Like, what do I do with this, God? Well, first agree with whatever's from the kingdom of God. I pray it's all. And then step in and say, I want everything. I want you. Moses said, show me your glory. And it's time. And I'm willing to be aware that the kingdom of God is at hand and change the way that I think. Can you take a message like this? Does it encourage your heart? Anytime the Lord gives us a word of recognition, he's saying, I love you. I don't want you to be one who was swept off the edge of the ship, even for a moment. I don't want that. We are destined to stay on that ship. We are destined. That's our destiny, beloved. And it's so fun. It's so fun. So as we step into this new week, as we can end with worship, offering ourselves to posture ourselves before the face of God, saying, Lord, I want to see your face. I believe we're going to see things and experience him in ways that we've not, so that we will see the floodgates opened up here. It's time. It's really time. Yeah. This is good. This is what love looks like. It really does. Love looks like something. Looks like doing nice things for people. This is a nice message. Wow. I'm ready, Lord. Who's ready to step into that deeper place with him? You ready to step in? Step in? Step in? That's what I really believe. I don't have... The word I have for us today is what I've given. And it is intended to produce great joy, to bubble up on the inside, that will remain. And not just looking for fruit, but being aware of his presence, which really produces fruit. So, dear ones, if we can, I don't know if you are, do you know the song, I Want to See Your Face? Or is there anything about the face of God you could sing or lead us in? Anything about the presence, the face of God, the place or the face. Not to put you on the spot, but just something that will touch your heart. Thank you, Lord. It's a holy moment. This is a holy moment. I believe God is saying this is going to take us someplace into his heart. Just listen and cooperate, participate. Thank you, Lord. into your presence right now in a deeper way. We've heard your word, Lord, and we thank you. Thank you, Lord. That as gatekeepers and watchmen on the walls, that we can see when our loved ones are being assaulted by a distracting force or influence. First in our own lives and then in the others, Lord, so that we can stand as your righteous ones, as your hands and your feet. So first, Father, we come into your presence. We come into your courtroom. We come into your throne room to meet with you again. There's been a release already just from the agreement in this house of a wonderful new scent, a fragrance of heaven that's right up here. Just rising right up to the Lord. There's a tangible presence, a tangible odor and scent. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just ask for an impartation right now of the word that's been spoken today. It's an impartation from the heart, your heart to our hearts today, Lord God. As we connect with you, Father, that it will be a forever change and transforming work in our hearts and lives that our ever resounding yes to you will position us to listen and hear. We would hear you, that ever still small voice. We would see you as we hide under the shadow of your wings. That we will connect with you and not lose sight of your majesty in our lives. Not just seeing the natural, but connecting with the giver of the natural to propel us into communion with you. Communion that's deeper and deeper and deeper. Far surpasses what we do. For we become who we really are. That's what we want, Lord, to experience you, to encounter you. Encounter you. To sing with the angels. To share the angelic realm and to know, Lord, that as we're seated in heavenly places, that our portion is to be with you. Not just during what we call quiet time. Lord, I'm asking for a life visitation and change to occur, the transforming work to occur in the depths of each one of our hearts right now, where our agreement with what you've released, our agreement with what you've released right now, will overshadow any questions that our minds are throwing to us right now, throwing at our hearts. That our yes will resonate with the yes from heaven. Thank you, Papa. We step into the depths of maturity in this season, Lord. That our hungering hearts will take us into a new realm of incredible hunger. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As we bring this portion of the meeting to a close, I know Mike has something he wants to quickly share about Gift of Christmas, but I want to share something as we end this in praying for one another. Those of you who need to go, or you can, I want us to pray for Howard. But I also want to tell you this. When I was at the Apostolic Network meeting for leaders and apostles back a month ago or so, we were exhorted by Bill Johnson to turn towards people who had their hands up because they had a need, and we stood around them. And this one lady I was around, her name was Angelina, and I stood around her. And these are, you know, we're all leaders. Everybody had their hands on this person, and they're just declaring and decreeing great and mighty things. And she stood and she was receiving. I was very quiet. I want you to hear this. She was very quiet. I was quiet. And you know me, I got something to say. Quiet. Because I wanted to hear the word of the Lord. And we stood there for quite some time. The group. And certain things were said and done that were good. Really good. But I wanted the word of the Lord for the moment. And I stepped up, put my hand there, and I said, "Let your glory fall. four words. Boom, down she went. Because that's the only thing he told me to say. The Lord's taking us into a greater place of maturing. Especially with how we do what we call ministry. Because everybody's heart in here is amazing. You are the greatest bunch of people I know. I love you to pieces. The Lord's saying, I'm going to help you. Postured to hearing what I'm saying. This morning when I was led to call Andy and Nikki, I'm just going to tell you something. Nikki was bleeding bright red. I didn't know that. I said, hi, Andy. And he said, we're praying. I said, okay, he told me that. Prayed the word of the Lord. It stopped. We're living in serious times right now. The Lord says, listen. Listen to what I'm saying. Spend time with me and listen. It's death and life are in the power of the tongue. Amen? Yeah, it's a serious time. It's a great time. We've got some big demons to battle against, we think, but they're nothing for our Jesus. Remember how I started this out? Jesus, who came to torment the tormentors. Who wants to join that company? So those who would like to come up and pray for Howard, and if anybody else has a physical or emotional need, feel free to come up. Mike, you have a word about gift of Christmas to give. Come on up. You can give that. But listen carefully. Holy Spirit,